Yeah, Kevin was reminding me of good times. On that same trip, I was in full clown outfit and a clown costume, and God told me to give a word to a woman, and I'm like, "Do you see me?" Like, had purple hair down to here and a red nose. I was like, "She's not gonna hear a word from you. I'm a clown." I gave her a word, and she started weeping. And my husband took a picture because, and I'll never let it go, because it just tells you that God can use you, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you look like, no matter what you're dressed in. He can use you if you're just willing to open your mouth, if you're just willing to serve in the places that he's called you to. He can use you because it's his voice, it's his word, and as you allow him to use you, it didn't matter. At that point, when I started talking to her, she didn't care that she didn't see the clown. She heard God that was speaking to her heart. And you see, I didn't do anything to have that word for her. I was hot. I was tired. I had been making balloons all day, little dogs and swords, and God said, I have something to say to her. And I just remember standing there going, "Well, you know, maybe she'll be at service tonight, because currently, right now, in case you didn't know, God, I'm in clown." My clown name is Honeybee. My husband's clown name is Claude. Honeybee, and so on my outfit, I have bright, I'm in a goose clown, I have bright, like bees, of course, that would go right, you know, and all different colors, and a goose clown is not supposed to match, you know, and I have these big pants on and this red nose, and my husband is a hobo clown. His name is Claude, which is where the meaning of clown came from, which means servant of people, in case you didn't know. And so a clown's originally came to serve and to delight people. And so came Claude. And so he took that name and he made it his name. And hobo clowns are supposed to look a little bit arranged and dark. They're supposed to wear darker clothes. And so we worked together, and he's definitely a better clown than me, just saying. But you just never know what God wants to use in the moment that he wants to use it. And the service today has really brought in everything that's about to come out. And he's designed it and purposed it, but he purposed it as a body. You know, sometimes we get so lost in who's speaking and what's happening and who's coming in it. And we are the body. We are the voice. And so you guys know me, and I have been walking through a different season where I've not been attainable. And so I don't put everything on Facebook. I put some stuff to kind of just let people know the flavor of what's happening with me, but I walk through some health stuff. And then my mom, I just want to thank you all. I want to thank you all for the messages. I want to thank you all for your prayers. Because my mom got sick and she started bleeding out, and they couldn't find the reason. And she was in the hospital for 26, 27 days. And in that time, they found it, they fixed the bleeding. She had some places in her colon and bleeding ulcers. But as soon as they fixed that, I went and I saw her, and she looked good. And I even told Jared, I said, I think we're coming around the corner of this, you know? And we had already been in intensive care for a long time. And we thought we were going to lose her, and I kept on praying life over her. And when you're in the storm, you know, they've been talking about storms and what to say, and I just kept on praying life over her. And I left that Sunday, and I'm driving home, and I got home, and everything is like, because, you know, I've been working a full-time job and taking care of my mom and taking care of my children. And I get a phone call that she's flatlined, and they're trying to revive her. So as I'm driving back to the hospital, the enemy comes to your ear that this is, you know, how can we have something else? And so the enemy comes to your ear, and I said, no, 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 no. My mom still has a strong purpose in her life, and selfishly, my son, he needs his meemaw. And I said, no, 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 no. She shall live and not die. She shall live and not die. And so I started driving to the hospital, and by the time I got there, they resuscitated her, and she was in the ICU. She said, she came to, and when she came to, they had moved her to the ICU room, and they had moved all her flowers with her. And they just, kind of just threw, of course, everything everywhere. I mean, because that wasn't the importance. But over in the corner was these flowers, and she goes, I knew I would be fine. And I said, you did? And, she's coming out of it. And she goes, yeah. She goes, because, when I woke up this morning, the lily on my flowers that had bloomed, and she's a florist, by the way, and it had bloomed. And it says in the word that even the lilies, God cares about the lilies. I knew I would be fine because he cares for me more than the lilies. And so, in the time of her storm, she came out with a new voice and a new sound and a new newness. And while we're talking about sound, I have learned a lot about sound, because currently I have about a 20%, 30% hearing level. I got some clogged ears and went into the ENT and found out that my eardrums have collapsed. And I learned about sound. And, she was giving her word, and then also the one that was doing offering. Where are you? Okay, Mickey was giving offering, and she said a word about hearing and having an ear to hear, and about sound. And it says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And then it goes on to say, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. And I'll finish that in a second. And that's in 1 Corinthians 2:9. So they said, your eardrums have collapsed. You cannot hear out of your right ear. And I said, I can hear. I can hear. I mean, it's a little lower than normal. I mean, I can tell my ears are clogged, but, you're wrong, and I can hear. Well, let's do a hearing test. Okay, let's do it. So they took me into this little gray room, and if anybody's done a hearing test, you probably experienced the same thing where you're sitting in this room, and I'm sitting there in this gray room, staring at a gray wall in a little, closed-in area, and they started the hearing test. Said, they put this stuff on me, and they said, we are starting the hearing test. Okay. And I'm sitting there for about 4 minutes. And in that four-minute mark, I was like, I should probably be hearing something. Probably, since this is a hearing test. You're running it through your head because, you don't want to be all negative and stuff. And I should probably be hearing something. But I'm not, Okay. And so then I finally heard, you're supposed to say yes, And I finally heard something. And I was like, yes! Heard that. 5 minutes in. Sure. And the person doing the test came in, and she has a smile on her face, and she's saying cheerful, But I know, and I know that she knows, there is a problem in the place. And so... And so she comes in, and she goes, well, we're going to move to another stage. I said, that was really bad. She goes, oh, no, no, no. we're just going to do a different part of the test. I was like, because I didn't hear that one. And so it really wasn't a test, was it? You know? And she goes, what we're going to do is we're going to do words. And this recording is going to come over and give you words to say. And when you hear the word, you just say the word. Okay, that seems reasonable since I didn't hear the beeps. I guess we'll go with words. Sure. And so she started off, you know, and I'm sitting there, and once again, in silence in this room, nothing. And by the time I could hear the recording, even the guy on the recording was ticked off. You know, he was like, I said, same here. You know, I'm sure you can hear me by now, you know. And so I'm like, I heard it, pear, ball, I can hear, you know. And at that point, I'm like, I can hear because this whole office can hear what I'm hearing because it's so loud. I think she just got done with the test and she just turned it all the way up, like, you know. So as I was sitting there, the realization came in that I really cannot hear. But I hear. I mean, I'm functional. But I cannot hear. How did that happen? And so it's interesting because this verse that, and it says this a lot in Psalms, so it's just not in Psalms 115. It actually repeats this several times in Psalms. And it says, their idols are silver and gold and the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. And noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. And feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throats. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us, and he will bless us. And he will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to his children of men. Psalms 115, 4 through 16. And so the lady came in and she's all cheerful, you know, and I said, be real with me. She said, well, the problem is that we took away context. We took away context. We took away lip reading. We took away everything. And this is what you can really hear. And I walked away from that thinking, okay. And I started realizing, you know, you have these routines in your home. So every time my husband leaves for work, he comes and he gives me a kiss and he says, I love you. Did I actually hear him say that? I started taking the moment. Did I actually hear I love you? Or am I reading his lips? Or do I know the context? And then at my work, there's certain things at your work that you do every day and you know the context of who they are. You know, there's one guy at my work, I'm not going to say names in case they see this, but there's one guy at my work, and he's always upset about something. So when he comes in, you know that he's going to be upset about something. And so because you're in context and because you know them, you hear them. You hear them. And so then God started kind of, are you doing that with me too? Are you hearing me because of context? Are you hearing me because this is how it's always worked for you? It's not bad. Don't get me wrong. You know, my husband's saying I love you, and I know that he's saying I love you. It's not bad. right? I mean, that's good. I mean, but are you hearing? Is the question that God gave me. And you know, it's funny because up on my Facebook came a reminder of the last time I came here in April. And what did I do? I did all the funny glasses. Some of you will remember that. And I always am an illustration speaker, and the illustration is me today. Because when you can't hear, you read lips and you are surrounded by sounds all the time. And the reality is I did not realize where I was at until I started getting these tests. And since then, I've had 5 hearing tests. And the other day, I was riding my trike, and I heard a siren. But I couldn't hear where it was coming from. And so I'm looking all around. I'm on my bike, and I'm going down the highway, and I'm looking all around because I heard this siren, but I never saw it. I never saw it, and it was pitch black, and I never saw where the siren came from, but I heard it, and I don't have that direction in me anymore with my hearing. And God said, are you hearing me, or do you just know where you're at right now? Are you just familiar? And I was like, okay. So meanwhile, in all of this, my mom's in the hospital. She's actually going to get out soon and come and stay at my house with me. So just keep on praying for her, please. There's a journey in there. With my hearing and medical stuff, I can no longer work at my work because I'm an office manager, and, you know, that takes a lot of hearing. And so all this is happening, and then Jared comes to me and says, I think God is calling us back to missions. And this happened a little bit before this. We planned a trip to Kenya, and he goes, I think we should put our focus back on missions. And I'm like, I don't know if I heard that. See, it puts it in perspective, doesn't it? And so as God started dealing with my heart that this Kenya trip is not just a trip, that it's a beginning of something, God started tweaking what I was hearing. Not only was I hearing from him, but what I was hearing from other people. Because, see, what happens sometimes is we get familiar with people, and I do it with my husband all the time, because my husband, we're familiar with one another. We know how each other's works. We walk with each other. We pray with each other. And so, but when he comes and says, I think we're getting back into, we're going to do this, we're going to do missions. In fact, that's why Nathan's in the school that he's in, is because we're going to do missions, like back into where we were. But if you get too familiar, like he was speaking from God, like it wasn't just I think we're going to go on a trip one day. It was God speaking and saying, you are going to move your whole lifestyle. This is the time and this is the season for you. How many times are we at the brink of a season? And we haven't heard. Or what about those times, which I'm there right now, just to let you all know. I'm just being real with you because sometimes if you're real, you can grab it. You know, they're going to do a surgery, and it's going to take me 2 weeks to be able to lift over 5 pounds and do other stuff. And obviously, I don't have time for that. So we need to work out something else, you know. But how often do you not hear because you're too much in your situation to hear what God is saying, or to hear other people, what they're really saying? And we know them so well, we just assume what they're saying. Let us be able to hear. Because I want to tell you, they're moving in a season. We're moving in a time where God is calling us to a place to not only walk as we know him, but to walk in what he's saying. See, he created you from the beginning of the earth. He created you from the foundations of the world. He knew you. He made you. He knew you. He made you. And he says, now we shall walk therefore in it. Let us have a voice. Let us have ears that we may hear. Let us be able to walk hearing. And for me, I'm not talking about you, but for me, I had to, in my hearing times, I've had to lay down my assumptions and really intently look. Because I knew I wasn't hearing. The test proved it. So then I started crying out to God, God, give me a spiritual hearing test. Let me always not assume and let me be able to hear you. But that was just me and my cry and my assumptions. So when I was asked to come up today, I told Kevin, I was actually, we've been talking for it for a while, but my mom has been in the hospital or rehab for the last 2 months, and literally, there's so many people that told me that they didn't hear from me. And I was like, yeah, I know. I know. I go from work to my mom and back. And even with me not working, I am working, I think, more. So as we were moving the time, I told him I was going to talk about hearing. But as the weeks moved on, God started creating that word in me because of my situation about hearing. So God is saying that in this season that he's going to bring people before you that you're going to have to look at and intently listen because he is speaking. He is speaking. He is talking and we shall hear him. And so when Kevin told me about Emily having a word, I knew that we were supposed to work together today. And so I want Emily to come up for a second. So, come up here. You can move after this. Very good. This is important. So, I've known Emily for a while. When we get together, we have familiar things that we talk about, that we do. But when I was on the phone with her, see, I don't do phones very well. I have a loud thing on my phone now because I can't, what? I can't hear, right? And so I'm listening intently. Intently I'm listening. I have to listen in a different way. And as I was listening to her, I heard the voice of God. And so as I'm bringing her up, we should bring each other up like this. Like, here it is. And you know, one thing that God told me was to not bring her up because you guys know I don't speak behind here. I don't do that. But it's not because I can't. It's because that's my personality. That's where I'm at. But see, this is a symbol. This is a symbol. This is a place. And when I brought her up that I was supposed to bring her here. Because she is who she is. Her family, their adorable daughter, their family, right? But as she speaks today, let us put on our hearing. And as these women spoke today, it is a women's day, by the way, just saying. As these women spoke today, I hope you put on your hearing because they spoke from the word of God today. They spoke straight from him. They carried the spirit. And today is we're taking up to the next level, the next place. And so she can move wherever she wants, but she's anointed for this season, for this generation. She's anointed with the voice of God. She's anointed with the word of God. God has given her dreams and visions just like he can talk to us. And she's anointed to carry his word. And you know, I know a lot of you, but I know her, and she cares so much about being correct, about being right. And so when we look at her, let us hear. Let us attune our ears. Let us lay down and hear her today. Because see, we're each anointed in giftings and callings, and sometimes we don't walk in those things because we walk around familiarity all the time. It keeps us in those places. So it's hard to esteem one another. And so sometimes, because we're familiar, it's hard to constantly, fortunately, I am in a place where I'm constantly pushed to that next place. But sometimes, you know, when you're familiar, when I'm familiar to my husband's voice, I assume what he's going to say to me. And right now, because of my hearing situation, if I don't listen intently, then I have missed it. And, you know, we're going to go on this trip to Kenya, and we're going July the 26th to August 4th. We appreciate your prayers. But we are going with the government, and it's something that God has always called us to, is to move with the government and to move the gospel into the government. And we're going to help do a bunch of stuff. And it's a great blessing, and it's a great thing, and I'm not going to spend any more time because that's not where we're at, but pray for us, support us, and I'm sure I'll come back and talk, and I'm kind of jealous because I want to be here when the guy comes from Kenya, and I can't, so I'll be watching you online. But listen intently. Because where you guys are going, you're going to start seeing each other differently. I don't know, but I saw these women differently today. Did you not? Did you not? So let us listen. As Emily takes the microphone, let us listen to what God has to say. And she's going to end the service today.
So I'm like Kelly, I have to be on the floor. It's just easier for me. Okay. Everybody mind if we pray real quick? Can we just all like raise our hands into the glory? Thank you, Father, for your presence in this house today. Lord, I praise your holy name. I thank you for the word that Kelly has brought to us. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us eyes to see and ears to hear. I thank you that you have given each and every one of us a heart of a deliverer, that you have anointed every single one of us to preach the gospel. That you have anointed every single one of us to set the captives free, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to set the hostages free and decree the word of our Lord. Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, Ruach, come right now. Be the words of my mouth. Speak through me as you would see fit and only see fit. Holy Spirit, I praise you for your word and your goodness. And your love. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, for the past 2 years, I've been here, and it's funny because the first Sunday that I was called literally out of bed was the first Sunday that Kevin preached actually as the pastor here. And 2 years ago, actually, to this day, because God knows what he's doing, on Palm Sunday, I gave my very first corporate word to this body. And to remind you what the word was one night I was laying in bed after being here for a couple of months, and I saw the Lord's hands, and he was kneading this dough, and kneading the dough and kneading the dough. And then from the left, he would take away a big chunk. And from the right, he would add more, and he would knead it in and knead it in. And then he would add more from the right and take away from the left. And then when I awoke, I smelled this beautiful aroma of perfect fresh bread. And the word of the Lord then was that the Lord is kneading this place, and he's making this place something of worth. He's bringing this thing to a completion, and he's removing things that shouldn't be, and he's adding things from his presence that he wants here, things from his glory, things from his revelations and his mysteries that he wants to put in this house. Because he has plans for this place. He's made a covenant promise here. And he's made a covenant promise to his bride in America. And the word that I'm going to bring today is not, it's not just for us as individuals, although it starts there. Because everything corporately has to start with the individual. But it's for this church as well as the bride who is called to be the bride in America. And I know that the times are dark, and we're seeing a bigger, bold black line between the bride of Christ and the church that wants to assimilate themselves and blend themselves in to look like the world. And it breaks my heart because Alex is in he's worship group leader groups on Facebook, and he's finding that they're compromising. They say, well, if we don't look like the world when non-believers come in, we don't have anything to offer them. But the truth is if they were walking in the spirit and not the flesh, they would have the world to offer them. The power of God is what they should be walking in, not trying to look like the world to attract the world. And so the thing is we're going to start seeing a bigger, bold black line between the bride who adorns herself and the church who wants to blend in. And the Lord in this time is calling us forward. He's calling us up. And I believe strongly that this is a kairos moment. And kairos in the Greek means it is an appointed time. This is a time, a gateway, a portal of time that is important for each and every one of us as individuals, as well as a corporate body, to hear the word of the Lord and to hear what he wants us to say. Because in a kairos moment, once you hear the word of the Lord and you grab it out of the atmosphere and you take a hold of it, he accelerates you into your destiny. He wants to accelerate the bride of Christ in this hour. Revelation 3:19 says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here, I am standing at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." And that's his desire. He's knocking on the heart of the bride in this season. He just wants to come in. He has so much for us to walk in. He wants us to open the door for him. So 2 weeks ago, well, actually, for 6 months, the Lord has been talking to me about what he wants to do in this season. And I have continued over and over to hear that he wants to restore the fear of the Lord to the body of Christ. And we get misunderstanding. The fear of the Lord doesn't always mean we cower and we feel guilt and shame. But no, we can stand fully in his presence. But the fear of the Lord means that we are afraid to do anything that would offend our gracious Father. That we would be afraid to walk in anything that wasn't commissioned and given by him. Sometimes we do things that are good, but we might not always do things that are God. And when we walk in the fear of the Lord as the church, he's going to start aligning us in the paths that we're supposed to take, and not just the ones that waste time. Because the time is short and the time is precious, and we have a harvest to be at. We have a harvest to work. We have a field to plant and till and bring in the harvest, because we have an entire generation of youth that is unchurched. We have an entire generation that is lost. I see the kids over there that are at IUPUI, and they have the biggest mission field. They have a huge harvest. If only there was someone to rise up in their calling. And they are the entrepreneurs in the spirit. They are the forerunners of the harvest, because the harvest is ripe and the field is massive. And Bob Jones talked about the end time billion soul harvest, the youth. And it's not always going to look like what we think it should look like, because the youth want the deep things of God. So 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a vision of how to get back to the fear of the Lord. How do we get back to the fear of the Lord? How do we get back to the place where His glory just has the floor? As we worshiped, I saw an angel walking up on the stage, back and forth, tarrying as we worshiped, tarrying as Kevin preached. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is the angel of my presence." And as we began to reach the apex of our worship, the angel came and stood just here. And in his hand, he held a silver vessel, a silver pitcher, which was just about as tall as this podium. And out of the pitcher, he began to pour an unending stream of living water. And as he poured, there was literally no end to the flow, and it just became a part of the river. And I noticed something about him. He had a black belt sash around his waist, and as he poured the river of refreshing, as he poured the river of blessing and renewal and life, the black belt became thicker and thicker and thicker. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is the belt of truth." And the Lord said, "Out of pure vessels, I will pour the rivers of living water. I will pour out my refreshing and my healing." And as the refreshing and the healing comes forth, and as my pure vessels begin to walk in the things that I have asked them to walk in and I've created for them to walk in, I will increase and weave together the mysteries and the revelation that I have for my church to walk in, the secret things, the big things of my heart that I want to share with them. And they will be precept upon precept, line upon line, woven together so that my church can stand together as an end time army, not threatened by each other, but knowing each one has its own rank. Each one has its value and job, because the Lord is no respecter of persons, and He anoints each and every person. Like she said, everyone is valuable. Everyone has a place. And so I asked the Lord, "Lord, if I'm to share this, I need your confirmation." And what do you know? Kelly calls me. Praise the Lord. And so I wanted to give you a breakdown about studying the Word, because I find when I have a vision, the Lord, even when I don't understand it, He is always faithful to give me revelation in His Word. Because without revelation being in His Word, you know, we have to put it on the shelf. But He is so faithful to give immediate interpretation to the things that He wants to be said. And so the silver vessel that I saw in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, silver trumpets were blown as a call to fasting and weeping as repentance. They were blown to signify the beginning of the sacrifices of the Lamb and the Passover. And I found this interesting, but silver bowls were also used in the temple for ceremonial cleansing by Levitical law. And no one was to touch the silver vessels because they were specifically for cleansing. And it's interesting because the priest could not enter the Holy of Holies until he was cleansed with the ceremonial washing. And so in this silver vessel, the Lord has said He is calling His people to be purified. He's calling them to be purified, to purify their hearts, to get out the dross. Zechariah 13:9 says, "This third I will put in the fire, and I will refine them like silver and test them like gold, and they will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God." So the water is refreshing. Through pure vessels He pours His refreshing, sustaining, cleansing, living stream, and it will have no end. The only way that we can stand in our calling and in our destiny is by allowing Him to purify us. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? They with clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted his soul to another, Titus 3:5 through 7 says he saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the new renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we have been justified by his grace. We might become heirs of hope and eternal life. That's why she told the woman at the well, the water that I bring to you, you will thirst no more. The belt that I saw around his waist, I had to ask him about. I said, Lord, you know, it's black, right? But Lord, you made all color. And he says, these are my hidden things. These are my hidden things. Not rewriting my things, but my hidden things. Those things in my heart, those gemstones that I long to share with my bride. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. And Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and seek and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. I believe very strongly that this generation is going to be the generation that reveals the secrets and the mysteries that it was talked about in Daniel, that as he laid awake in the bed in the night watches, and there were mysteries in heaven revealed to him, and they were sealed, and they were not to be spoken of until the end times. I believe that that generation is the generation that will wake these things up in the Word. They will become awake and alive in them. They will become weapons of their warfare to know the heart of their Father again. Amen. So how do we get there? That's always my question. The Lord says to me something and I say, how do I get there? How do I get there? Let's go to Joel 2, starting in verse 12. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is still time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting and weeping and mourning. Don't tear your clothing and grieve, but tear your hearts instead. And the King James says, rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger with great kindness, and repentant him of evil. And after that, he says, the Lord took pity upon his people, and the Lord will reply, look, now I am sending you grain and new wine and oil. You see, it takes a pressing and an allowing him to purge us to receive the promises that he wants for us. The question is to get to the deep things is, what in you is there a holy riot that says, God, I don't have enough of you. I have to have more. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, but God, I need you more. And it says, when you rend your hearts and not your garments, he will reward those who diligently seek him. And when you seek him with your whole heart, you shall find him. Rend your hearts and not your garments. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, to whom were confident in their own righteousness, looked down at everybody else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like these other people, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And God blessed the tax collector, not the Pharisee. Because, see, it takes a heart that is rendered to him. It's not anything that we can do on our own. It's just simply coming into him and saying, God, take it from me. And make me look more like you. We have such a work to do. And the only way that we can become the work is to look like Jesus and be his image and his bride. if you go on, it says, look, I'm sending you grain and new wine and the olive oil. So grain represents our daily bread and our sustenance. Our supply that he promises will be heaped up and running over. The new wine is the Holy Spirit in a greater measure than we could ever imagine. And the oil is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And this is the produce of a rended heart to the Lord. And here's the thing, sometimes it's not a sin problem. Sometimes there's things in our life that have been done to us that he didn't create us with. Sometimes there's things that have been done to us. Sometimes people have forced something on us that now we carry with us. And the Lord says, rend your hearts, not just for sin, but rend your hearts so that I can heal you, so that I can call you up out of the pit of darkness. I'm just going to testify here. In October, I received a promise from the Lord in September, and then October comes around, and suddenly I was having these flashbacks of stuff that happened to me when I was a kid. I had an event and a trauma, which I always knew existed, but I never had the memory of it. And suddenly, in my prayer time even, I'm having these flashbacks, these vivid memories of this event. And I said, God, why are you doing this? Why are you letting this happen to me? Why are you letting the devil do this? And he said, in the quiet voice, daughter, it's me. And I was angry. I said, God, why would you bring it up? Why would you do this? He said, because where you are going, you cannot carry these things anymore. And I'm sovereign and I'm good. And I'm bringing it up so that I can take it out of you so you never have to look at it again. So that you have peace. So that I can take you the places where you want. And he gave me this picture. I had suitcases all over me. I had suitcases hung around my neck, in my arms, under my arms, surrounding me. I was carrying something I didn't know that I was carrying. And the Lord said, enough is enough. I don't want you to carry. Hello. You're not carrying it anymore, because where you're going, there's things you have to carry, and you can't carry these things anymore if you're going to carry this other thing that I have for you. And so of no fault of our own, there's sometimes things that the Lord wants to give him. Just here, have it. And he did it sovereignly with me, but he'll do it sovereignly with you if you cry out to him. Lord, search my heart. Created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Make the crooked path straight, God. Every crooked way in me, make it straight. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how bad it hurts. How do we get new wine? By crushing the grapes. How do we get a new wineskin? By throwing the other one away. And he wants to fill us with the new wine, but we have to become a new wineskin to host the presence of the Lord that he has for us. New wine put in an old wineskin will spoil. How do we get the oil? By rolling over the olive and crushing the olive into oil. How do we get grain? By sifting it sifting the chaff away from the grain. There is a refining process that if we yield to it, the Lord promises a great, 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 great reward. And the deal is that there's a difference between the new wine and the oil. There's a difference between a gifting and an anointing. And the difference is character. Because see, anybody can prophesy. Anybody can speak in tongues. But the character of the Lord comes from the oil and the anointing. It comes from the pressing and the pushing. And the Lord says, I want to build a people of character. Because there's this old saying by rock stars, it's better to burn out than fade away. But that's totally false. You don't ever want to burn out off of a gifting, but you do want to fade away into the glory. And he wants a people who's built in character so that when the storms come in the end times, when the storms come, they can withstand it because they know whom they serve in character of his heart. And they trust him above all else. Joel 2:28 is how we get the reinstatement of the glory. Joel 2:28 is the reinstatement of the glory and the I am, the fear of the Lord. And I lost it. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Afterwards. After the rending of the heart. After the outpouring of the new wine and the grain and the oil. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days I shall pour out my spirit. I shall show wonders in the heavens and in the earth and blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen. Isaiah 6:1 talks about, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the train of his robe fill the temple. And as this angel was standing here pouring out the water, I saw his robe grow and cover the entire sanctuary. Every inch of the floor covered in the train of his robe. King Uzziah was a good king in the first 30 years of his leadership of Israel, but he exalted himself against the Lord and put himself in a place of being the high priest. And the country was thrown into absolute ruin with starvation and famine because of his pride. And so what you could say is, the year that pride died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. The moment that pride dies, we can walk fully in the things that the Lord has for us. And the things that the Lord has for us to walk in, he desires even more for us to walk in it than we do. His plans for us are good and sweet. And he took time to sit down and write a destiny specifically for you. And he wants to unroll it. He wants it to take place. And all of heaven is backing you in your destiny. All of heaven backs you in your destiny. Isaiah 61, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. We are in a time and a season for the church to hear and see, taste and know the things that the Lord has for us to move and walk in. And no person in this room is discounted from the move of God. There are people in this room that have a specific vocabulary for people and situations that other people would never be able to speak to because of the experiences and the places that you have been. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm just telling you, you're important to the kingdom. You have worth in the kingdom. Your sound and your voice is important. And the Lord wants to heal so that he can use. His desire is to show you the wonders of his love and to use you to show others the wonders of his love. Every single one of us is the bride of Christ in the bride of Christ. And he wants us to adorn ourselves with a heart of purity that's rendered to him. And he wants us to have a holy riot in us that says, God, I don't have enough of you. I got to have more. I got to have more of you. Yeah. He has good gifts for his children. And he's given you an opportunity to become his spotless bride. I thank Kevin and Kelly for allowing me to speak. It honors me to be used of the Lord.
Wow, what an honor to minister today. We've heard word after word and of the Lord saying, and over, if you haven't heard, he's saying he has a destiny for you. It's a season to hear. It's a season to rise up. And what a strong word. A strong word. You know, today we had strong word after strong word after strong word. And I was just a filter today. So, God, we just thank you so much for the word that you came forth. And we just ask you now to render our hearts to you, God. Render our hearts to you. Render our hearts to you, God. God, let us lay down every assumption, everything of the past, God. Let us lay it down before you now. We just cry out right now. Render our hearts to you that we may see you. God, we just thank you right now that you will remove the things, God, remove the assumptions, remove the traditions that we've been taught, God, and let us render our hearts to you that we only hear you, God. God, as we move into worship, as we move to the song, God, we just thank you, Father, that you are speaking now only to us with your vocabulary that you have for us. We ask you now to come and speak to us, God. Speak to our situation. Speak to the crosses that we haven't told anybody, God. We ask you now to come and touch the places that we have hidden, God. The places that we don't know what to do with, God, because we know that you are faithful. And we render those to you, God, and we say, have your way in us. And right now, God, we declare your word over the situations that we don't have words for, God. We declare your faithfulness, and we can say, God, we don't even know what to say about these situations, but we render them to you, God, and we take them underneath your word, and we say, let your name reign over them. Come and reign over us. Come and have your way with us. And as Alex comes forward, we stay in this moment with you, God. Just create this place in us, God. We cry out for you. We cannot do another day, another moment without your word, without who you are, God. God, we know that you love us. You love us in the moment that you made us from the foundations of the world. Even before our parents knew us, you knew us and you had a purpose for us, a place for us, a place to prosper us, not to harm us. And Father, right now we render ourselves to you. Who are we to hold on to anything but you? God, forgive us. Forgive us, Father. God, let us not be deceived. Let us not be deceived. Let us render our hearts to you. If you're in this place today and you know that there's a destiny for you that you haven't walked in yet, this is your moment. If you're in this place today and you have creases inside of you that you don't even know how to speak of, this is your moment. If you're like Emily and you've been showing things from your past and you don't know what to do with them, this is your moment. So often it's easy to sit back, man. I really enjoyed today. I sat back and watched someone else move. so awesome. And it's easy to sit back and watch other people move and have these thoughts that you've thought of yourself for so long. And you let those and you have those thoughts above what God is saying about you. See, in amongst me, sitting before me, is people of honor. It's people of people who's reaching thousands before me. And God is pulling you up. He's pulling you up and he's saying, render your hearts. See, I heard. And as she was speaking, God was speaking to me. See, you never reach a level where there's not a place to render. If you reach that level, get scared. You hear me say over and over and over, especially when I prophesy. I tell you over and over and over, I am a human. And God uses me. Because I never forget, I never forget, I never forget. See, I never forget. I never forget. It's about his faithfulness and his faithful hand. See, when I see people in the spirit and God gives me a word about them and directly about them, I know it has nothing to do with me. It doesn't. I cannot do enough to be righteous enough to do the work of God. I cannot do enough. But so often it's so easy to point our finger and tell people, well, you're not ready, or to tell yourself you're not ready when you're taking that next step. See, I'm about to take that next step. I'm taking that next step. And I hear all the things that I used to hear. See, sometimes you forget what people go through. And so as you're sitting here and you're dealing with your thoughts of, I can't do this, and I haven't read enough chapters today, and there's so much I don't know, and I don't know these things, I get it. But see, God, when he made you from the foundations of the world, he put the giftings inside of you. And he's saying, come on, take another step with me. Come on and take another step with me. I will provide for you. I will make a way for you. But God, there's stuff that's not right in me. Because, you know, nobody knows you like you know yourself. There's stuff that's not right in me. Oh, okay. Take another step with me. Come on. I will take that off of you. I will rearrange you. I have words for you. Take another step with me. Oh, but God, I can't do that. I can't walk in those. Take another step with me. Lay down your defensiveness. Lay down your doubt. Come and be the glory that I've called you to be. If you're in this place today and you are walking in those areas today, come up and make a statement. Say, you know, I need to take that step. But I don't even know what that looks like. Look, I understand. I don't even know what it looks like for my family to be sold out to missions. I don't even know what that looks like. Then I just accepted to be outreach director. I don't even know what that looks like. But God said, take a step with me. Together we'll make this beautiful, because see, when I made you, I had this for you. But Kelly, you don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know. And you're right. But God knows everything. And in that moment, in that place, in that storm, you have the vocabulary.
Lord, I thank you for the rhema word. I thank you for your love, God. I thank you that one encounter with your heart can change everything, God. I thank you that you have called us from the foundations. And I thank you that you are changing people's hearts and lives today. Lord, I thank you that you're making streams in the desert and paths where there is no way, you're making a way. I thank you, Lord, that you're riding on every storm. I thank you that you are challenging every thing that the enemy wants to do, you're saying no. I thank you that you are victorious. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your healing right now.